This is Sarah Hadley again.
And this is Michael Hickerson.
And this is our commentary for Bad Wolf. We are reunited.
And we've joined forces. And let me just warn you, in case you're like some crazy person who thinks, golly, it sure would be fun to watch the commentaries first before I watch the episodes. Don't.
It's a bad idea.
Also, if you haven't seen Parting of the Ways, we're going to spoil everything.
Are we? I guess so.
Well.
It makes sense. Yeah, really, you shouldn't be watching like part one of something and then the commentary and then part two. It's just a bad idea. You will notice this time you can actually hear us.
Yes, we actually have technology now.
Yeah, the first ones we did for Rose and Dalek were ostensibly made as an experiment. We wanted to put them on the internet as podcasts, which still hasn't quite happened, but will by the time you get this.
Yeah, maybe. We're slow.
Yeah, well. And thanks to Matt Dale for doing that for us, for working on the audio. But, they were not the most technologically savvy commentaries ever. And now we've just moved up in the world. So you can hear our snarkiness loud and clear.
That's right. And we just sat through the rehash of Longest Game, which is probably about the best way to...
Why is it Albion Hospital he goes to? Is it just to make us feel even more claustrophobic that he's going back to the place where Aliens of London took place? It's just sort of weird.
I guess my big complaint for season one, and I guess I've been brainwashed because now I am calling it season one. Okay, my big complaint for season 27 is that they never go anywhere. And I kept expecting there to be some reason that they were not leaving Earth.
Me too. I expected some like big reason, like the TARDIS was keeping them there.
Or they were hiding from the Daleks.
Yep.
Oh, they come in.
Or the Daleks had a giant magnet.
No, that would just wipe out all their hard drives. So, I'm sorry. And here we are, the Doctor is in the Big Brother house, in case you're like wondering, are they ever going to talk about anything that's happening on screen?
Now, something I found interesting, albeit marginally interesting, was that the three game shows we see represented here, I like that couch. For some reason, it's just sort of a cool image. The three game shows they've chosen to represent, Big Brother, The Weakest Link, and What Not to Wear, have all been brought over to America in some form or fashion, and in the case of The Weakest Link, pretty much directly, because we even had Anne Robinson. So.
And we had some weird guy who did a syndicated version, and he sucked. I'm just throwing that
still
in there.
Still does suck, I believe. I think it's still
on. I think it's just in reruns now.
Oh, is it? Okay, that's syndication for you. But at least, if this came over to America one day, we would all recognize pretty much what the shows are. And that has to have been part of it. I mean, somebody along the line at the BBC must have said, we've got to make this so if we sell it to the Americans, they'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so let me enter my plea. Sci-Fi Channel, buy it. Okay, I'm done. Maybe.
I would actually hope a better channel would buy it. But I'm seriously thinking when we get 26 episodes next year, there's a much better chance.
Well, you know, UPN just has crap coming on. We're getting ready to this as we get ready for the 2005 TV season. And, you know, UPN has just crap except for Veronica Mars. So they could really use a show like Doctor Who. Of course, I guess we don't meet the demographic for UPN.
I was going to say, do we meet the young black?
Well, they're looking for female viewers, and Sarah, you're a female viewer. Isn't this something you would want to see on UPN?
Yeah, but I mean, I was a female viewer. I apparently wanted to see Buffy on UPN, and they took that off. Although, I'm not sure how that met the young black demographic either. I enjoyed the Buffy ads that were paired up with, you know, the Bling Show or whatever was the new...
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I do not mean to sound racist, but UPN literally picks the worst programming ever.
You think, okay, I want to have, maybe you could have Veronica Mars and it could lead into Doctor Who. It does seem like they would be a little more compatible than, you know, Veronica Mars series about a white girl. And then, the African-American comedies that I don't watch because...
My favorite was Buffy was paired with this show about football and rappers, and it lasted like 13 episodes.
Did it last that long? Oh, wait, it's UPN, they have nothing else. Right. Today on UPN, a test pattern.
So, you know, tonight on UPN, Buffy, and then, you know, Playmakers or whatever it was called, and it was just the worst combination ever. I think that's why Spike went a little more bling in season 7, was like an attempt to make him into Vanilla Ice or something.
And that didn't work. Anyway, but we should
get back to Dr. Who now.
Well, okay, since you brought up Buffy, this brings up an interesting point. As I was contemplating the commentary for this,
mm-hmm. I was thinking about... actually contemplate it before we started then?
Oh, sure, why not? I wasn't doing it. I was thinking about seasons of Buffy, like seasons 2 and 3 particularly.
They all seem good ones then.
They all build to something, and you get to a two-part finale. And this may have been something that...
Just kind of pioneered it.
A bias that I have against these two episodes in a bit is that I felt like all season Russell Davies was building to something, building to something, building to something, and you get to this two-parter, and Captain Jack is getting naked, so all you ladies can go crazy now, and all you gay men, go crazy, go nuts, have a good time. But, you get... Okay, I was thinking about specifically Graduation Day from Buffy, all right. Season 3. You know, you get the whole feeling like the season's built to something, and all of a sudden, like, threads are starting to come together.
And it all makes sense.
Bad Wolf, I think my biggest complaint of this one is... I like the fun of let's go and be wacky reality and let's kind of parody
that. And then it doesn't go anywhere.
But then, you know, you're sitting here going, and if you saw the previews, which, you know, you knew the Daleks were coming, so it becomes not a matter of who's behind all this and where is it all going. It's like,
when do we get Daleks?
Daleks, Daleks, Daleks. And, you know, when they come, it's pretty much like let's wet our pants because it's just that darn exciting. But, you know, you have to spend, like, 30 minutes waiting.
Well, here's the thing. I really liked this episode. Yeah. I'm actually going to say this. This is the one Russell T. Davies episode. I finished it and I was like, yeah, it was a really good episode. Yeah. Unfortunately, when you get to the next part and you go back, they don't really match up too well. Because this game show thing, while it's lots of fun...
Is immediately dropped
and goes nowhere. Yeah. Why would the Daleks harvest humans this way? Why wouldn't they just, I don't know, beam down and... you know, kill them all or kidnap them all.
Why did the atmosphere.
It's like the Emperor's like, I am bored today. I would like to see many game shows. And why did they pick game shows from the 20th century? I kept expecting that to be explained in the 21st century, if you will.
Well, you know, Russell can't explain everything.
But Russell T. Davies almost seems to write in this sort of strangely linear fashion. It's like, this is a good idea. This leads into the next idea. Well, this leads into the next idea. Well... But he never, like, sits back and sees if the whole thing works.
And it's maybe...
step to step to step to step in a chain with no circle to it.
And that makes me wonder, who is script editing on these stories? I mean, do they need... Because, okay, let's go to another popular thing. Star Wars, the last trilogy. George Lucas desperately needs someone to come in and say, George, you got some good ideas here.
Right, but
they don't... damn, you need some help script editing this thing.
Right.
For continuity's sake.
Davies episodes... are very much to me what I would call the parts are better than the whole. Because I really enjoyed this episode, and I still enjoy this episode, but when I think of it in the context of, like, the story of the two-parter, it doesn't make sense, and that really bugs me.
And if you break it down, because this is really pretty much the same length as an old four-parter, the first episode is pretty much throwaway.
Very much so until, like, the last 10 minutes, yeah.
You know, the equivalent of, you know... And I guess, you know, it took me a while watching the show to not look for cliffhangers every few minutes.
Yeah, me too.
So I got kind of used to it by this time. And here's Rose, and she's on the game show. Apparently she's
not... Can I throw something in here?
Sure.
Paterson Joseph is the person playing Roderick there,
okay. Who
competes with Rose. He's a really good actor. He was the Marquis de Carabas in Neverwhere. And Neil Gaiman's personal recommendation for the Doctor. I've heard it from his mouth.
Well,
and he'd be a good Doctor, I think. He is utterly wasted in this role. He's like one of the few big-name guest stars that they just bring on, and they do nothing with him, particularly in Part 2. And that I really don't get. There was a lot of rumor early on, particularly when Boomtown was rumored to like lead directly into this story.
Yes.
And he was rumored to be in all three of them, which turned out to be a miscommunication. But there was a big rumor that he was the master. And I thought that would have been really cool. Because they've used a lot of guest stars well on this show in previous episodes, but he just goes nowhere.
Except for Simon Pegg. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Well, at least Simon Pegg gets a chance to show his wit. I mean, even though he never, like, meets the Doctor until the very, very end.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the role he was supposed to play anyway.
Well, maybe they'll bring him back next year. Because God knows we need to go back to the station again.
No, that's
maybe
okay.
Maybe the Slovene can invade the station and K-9 can kill them all. Oh, I'm sorry. In case... Oh, I'm going to spoil... I guess we're going to throw in rumors for season 28
or 2.
Yeah,
the big rumor for season 2 is that K-9 is back. At least
it's been confirmed.
Story.
The BBC confirmed it the other day. He is coming back for one episode.
Yeah, you could, like, not blow the entire season for everybody. Just
so
try,
in
like,
the end...
rumor.
In the end of the season, the Doctor does wacky things. Okay.
I mean, I know other things about season 2 that I'm not going to say, particularly as, like, Nick, when he hears these, he'll kill me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nick. But, you know, hey, unless you're living... Okay, now we're back to the what
well, not
to wear.
He's just not obsessed like you and me. As in, you know, he might have a life.
It's not really actually my, you know.
He may have a chance for redemption.
I didn't go seeking this rumor out, but people are like, did you hear that K-9 is on? And I'm like.
Well, I'm sure he knows that one. Just, you know.
Yeah. And here we have Captain Jack dressing up in many various clothes.
Can I just repeat? I really like Captain Jack. I think he's a nice addition to the show.
Oh, you know, when I first saw him in Empty Child, I was kind of like, well, I don't know. I was a little uncertain.
Yeah, so was I the first time I watched it.
But he really did well. He kind mm-hmm. of, and Captain Jack really helped redeem what I think was the big, just okayness of Boomtown.
I like Boomtown, but I see what you mean, yeah. He adds a lot to it.
He was a little more memorable. I think giving someone else for the Doctor and Rose to kind of play off of.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It's a good idea. You know,
but I've always liked two companion TARDISes.
Yeah, just as long as we're not getting up to three.
No, three is bad, but two is good, and I've always liked male companions in the TARDIS, too. They have their own element. I mean, not always, but I tend to like them. Jamie, yeah. Ian, Stephen.
And let me just say, Russell, I know you're not ever going to listen to this commentary, but you might hear about it from, I don't know, someone else. If you're thinking to yourself one day, you're like, you know what would be good? If Mickey became a companion.
Yeah, there's another.
Call me, because I will go, Russ, no, dude, don't, because, no. I'll get into Mickey next episode, because he's
he
in it.
He shuts up, yeah.
God, help us.
I actually started liking Mickey better from Boomtown onward, but I still think he's kind of flayed out.
Oh, okay, here's
my... My mother thought this was hilarious. Literally, this came up in the Boomtown trailer, the trailer at the end of Boomtown,
yes.
And she just lost it. She was, like, rolling around laughing. She thought it was hysterical.
Well, I think part of my problem with this, the pacing of Bad Wolf, maybe the first 25 or so minutes, is that we figure out in this segment that we're watching that, wait a minute, the game shows aren't all they seem. People die. And then we'll repeat this again and again, like, oh, people die. People die. People die. And you're like, okay, they die. Okay, I get it. Thanks, Russ. I'm not that stupid. Oh, here, guy, he's trying to run away.
Yeah, now these deaths at least make sense because he kind of gets, you know, atomized. Or
yeah.
It looks like he's atomized and he leaves a little pile of ash on the floor and whatever. In light of what they explain later, it actually makes some sense.
Yeah.
But when you see the girl from Big Brother get vaporized, she actually, it hasn't happened yet, but you'll see what I mean when we get there.
Yeah.
She gets kind of shrunken as she's vaporized, which makes no sense.
Oh, those Daleks, they're just so efficient. Oh. And again, you know, if you're listening to this commentary and you haven't seen the episode yet and I've just ruined everything for you, I don't know why you would listen to us yammer on first when you can watch.
You do realize, Michael, at this point, I'm going to have to put like a little label inside the DVD set that says,
he's an
for
idiot
your
too.
Own warning, you know, don't listen to the commentaries before you've seen, I don't know, all the episodes.
Well, that is true.
Maybe when you do the Doctor dances, you could like attempt to keep the spoilers.
But you're funny. You're really, yeah. Because what everyone wants to hear is 45 minutes of me talking.
Well,
they're like, ooh.
By now they've heard 45 minutes of me talking, so
well,
don't
true.
Want 45 minutes of you.
Well, yeah.
And I do stuff like talk about like things that are important to me and themes of life and crap, so.
Oh, I'm going to talk about the paint drawing in my house then. I haven't done mine yet, so you're listening to these. If you want to listen to these in order, if you want to go back and go, oh, I want to listen to them in the order they were recorded, first of
it's
all, go outside.
It's a really random order. Basically determined by availability of people.
Yes, and you can tell that obviously we're just enthralled by what's going on here because nothing is happening
to advance
the plot.
Watch what happens with her. Watch when she gets vaporized. I'm serious.
And
are we all watching? Yeah, this.
I feel like I should be aerobicizing to this music.
This may be real Big Brother music. It's certainly not what they play in the States version, but it might be.
You mean you've actually watched Big Brother in the States?
Once. two weeks ago.
To research.
And I'll tell you about that in a minute, but watch her. Seriously. She kind of gets shrunken down as she's vaporized. Yeah, I could care less.
Okay, just kill her.
See, she does like that little shrinking thing. That is so stupid. I mean,
that's the special effects budget right there. I'm glad we spent the money on that.
Anyway, yeah, my mother turned on Big Brother a couple weeks ago, right before I left Knoxville.
Yes.
And she was watching, and there's this horrible, shrill woman on it who goes like, come out now if you want the power of V2! Who sounds just like a child who used to be in a preschool class I assisted in, who would come in and go, you know, I want my painting today. She sounded just like that. So this horrible shrill woman is talking about the power of V2, and there are people throwing coasters onto, like, a Target on a lawn. And I'm thinking, this is television, it's absolute nadir. It's just sickening. And that's broadcast here, so why isn't this? I mean, Doctor Who may not be the best thing on Earth, but Jesus God, it's a lot better than what's on.
I'm sorry, I'm bored just listening to you talk about it. Yes. I don't understand. I don't know what the BBC is asking for this. Apparently it involves...
Apparently they want the whole classic series run here, which is a joke.
Yeah, I don't see the Hartnell stories going over real well.
I don't see anything before Tom Baker, and even that's a stretch.
Now here's the cool girl.
I kind of liked her.
This was the part from the preview that I played over and over again.
May I say, and you'll hate me for this, she's actually kind of cute.
Oh, yeah, that weird sort of... I thought maybe it was going to be... what's the name of the girl from... Long Game, who helps them.
Oh, the...
And then I thought maybe she was going to come back as this person. But, you know, that would be thinking outside the...
Well, at first I thought it was the girl who played the Gelf.
Yeah.
In Unquiet Dead, but we
were
both wrong.
It was, you know, well, we were obviously thinking more than Russell did.
Well, it's that whole insular thing. By this time we'd been so trained to look for clues to previous stories. Yeah.
Damn you, Joss Whedon, for spoiling us. Damn you! And also J. Michael Straczynski, because he really kind of started with Babylon 5.
Joss isn't perfect. I mean... Buffy, season 7? Come on.
I like season 7.
You can keep it, too!
I've got it on DVD.
Woo! Yeah, well, you can just love that thing.
And Captain Jack in his tennis wear.
Yeah, this is where they possibly could have cut some stuff. I mean, I love Jack. He's a great character, but this is going to go on a bit long.
Nope, and... Well, no, this is for the female audience members.
What female audience members? Come on, be true to yourself.
I know a couple here in Nashville that are female audience members.
Besides me, you mean?
No, besides you, yes, besides you. There's this group in Nashville, and we haven't found them yet, and they're probably going, and they're probably, by the time this comes out, we'll have found them, and they're going, please, forget that you know us.
Well, I like Michael told me that they're going through the new series right now. Like, what is it, one a week?
Yeah, one a week.
And I was like, I don't think I could do that, because I've seen all these episodes at least twice for Sean Lyon's book, Back to the Vortex, if you can find a check.
Buy a copy now.
It might actually be of interest to you, despite the hideous cover.
Don't slag on Sean. He might give you the episodes next year.
I'm not slagging on Sean. I just don't like the cover. Now, the cover of the deluxe edition, that thing is cool. That's what I'm getting. So, anyway, I watched him at least twice, usually three times for that book. I've seen them again for these commentaries. I've seen them again building the menus for this DVD set. And bits of them again for the bloody chapters, to make the chapters. I am over these episodes.
So basically, Sarah's really looking forward to City of Death, a story that we both really don't care that much for.
But it's
because it'll be something different.
By the time we're done with this, in a couple of months I may be able to watch, like, the three episodes I really, truly enjoyed of this season again. It could be a year before I'm able to watch the others.
Well, I can understand that. Oh, and here we go, in case you missed it, is flashbacks of Bad Wolf through time.
Yeah, including ones that Rose wasn't around for.
Yeah, it's hard to flashback to that when you weren't there. But I think it's interesting. The show Don't Tell theory. I understand that this is being made for audiences to drop in and out of as they can or can't watch the episode. So, you know, I'm obsessive. You know, if it's on, I'm going to watch it, you know, first run. But
not as if we actually had that option.
I meant, if I lived in England, I've never seen this before. Where did this come from, Sarah? Oh, my God. Is this new Doctor Who? No, I don't have it in my house. I'm going to jail.
It appeared on my computer magically.
Yes. And remember, Ian Levine gave them to us. So if you're going to arrest someone, Ian Levine. Okay, I'm sorry.
And make sure to go through his closet, because we want the Web of Fear back.
So now the Doctor is trying to escape the house.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, this is kind of where it starts to kick up. It starts to kick up a little. This would be like the cliffhanger.
Yeah, actually somebody commented early on with the end of the world that there is usually a bit exactly halfway through each episode where there's a cliffhanger-type moment that if these were cut up for half-hour resale, like to some foreign country, it would work perfectly.
Yes.
And that actually remains true for most, if not all, the episodes.
Yeah. So.
I don't know if that's just because all the writers are Who fans and they're just kind of like pre-programmed to put in a cliffhanger every 22 minutes, or...
I don't know, because some of them wrote some of the new and the missing adventures, like Paul Cornell, and yeah, I can't imagine that building to a cliffhanger in a novel is going to
but
work.
But he's also done a couple of the audios.
That is true.
I think they've all done... Well, Stephen Moffat.
That one with the cool Nymon. Oh, I'm sorry, I just ruined whatever that Paul Cornell one is, where the Nymon come in at episode 3.
Could you, like, shut up already? You're just...
Oh, it's been out for five. It's been out for, like, 3 or 4 years
yeah,
now.
But it's really good, and I still recommend it to people. Anyway,
I thought the Nymon was an absurd twist, and I was like, I remember I was driving, and I was like, what
I thought
the
it was
hell?
Cool.
The Nymon?
Hey, I actually guessed it, because I was listening to one episode a week, and I guessed it early.
And now we're back to the cool exterior of the station.
Yeah, I still don't see why this just has to be Satellite 5, but okay.
Well... Okay, another frustration with this episode. And none of these are like... These are nitpicks, really, I would have to
say.
Yeah,
we're getting into nitpicks.
Is the fact that... I remember before this aired, they were like, oh, the mystery of Bad Wolf will be solved by the end of this story. I remember... And then Parting of the Ways was going to deal with what we found out.
Well, it is, after all, called Bad Wolf.
Yeah, and then you're sort of like... You're at the end going, so Bad Wolf was,
What, exactly?
Captain Jack,
A lot of people thought it would be Captain Jack, you know?
It was the TARDIS. It was this cute girl from the house.
I thought cute girl was going to end up being a Dalek spy. I really did, because she just, like, shows all the signs of it.
Yeah.
So I was actually pleasantly surprised when she wasn't.
And then she dies in episode 2.
Yeah, but it's better than being a Dalek spy.
Well, that is true. And, yes.
I will say, Russell T. Davies has a great knack for introducing these little bit characters
yes.
that we find ourselves drawn to, and then they die. He's really good at quick characterization. That's a very strong point for him.
It'll be interesting to see what he does next year.
He's truly what I would call a character man when it comes to writing. Because, I mean,
yeah.
Bear in mind, he got Rose and the Doctor, boom, right off.
Well, that is true. And you had to introduce, you know, it had been 16 years since we'd seen
the
Doctor.
Yeah, and I swear, some people are good with plots and some people are really good with characters. And speaking personally as somebody who I think I do a lot better with characters than plots. Plots are hard. But, yeah, Russell was definitely a character man.
So basically we're having the Babylon 5 versus Buffy debate.
Well, see, I've
Babylon
seen...
5 is heavy on plot, and Buffy is heavy on character.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that.
So,
even though I haven't seen a lot of Babylon 5, yeah, I'll go with that.
If you haven't seen all of Babylon 5, I would recommend it, but have patience in the first season.
Have a lot of time at your disposal.
Yeah, apparently if you have 110 hours that you want to devote to this.
Yeah, that
plus the movies.
That was my problem with it, yeah.
So really, if you've got about 120 hours to spare, go for it.
But yeah, this is like in stark comparison to Rob Shearman, just is like the most easily other side of the spectrum
yeah.
person I can think of. He's what I would call a plot man.
I just wonder what kind of like cool tag team Russell Davies and Rob Shearman might be.
Actually, they'd be an interesting one.
Oh, and it's the Bad Wolf Corporation. Maybe this is where the title came from.
I mean, I mean in no way to belittle either of them on their individual skills, but Rob really is very sharp with plot. But if you listen to his stuff or you watch his stuff, you can see the same kinds of characters pop up.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem, but he's definitely heavier in the plot department. Yeah. Whereas Russell is very good at creating instantly unique characters.
So, you know, I just wonder if they could tag team a little bit. Oh, now here comes... Now, I remember when...
This is cool.
The preview came out for this, and they go and, like, talk to this...
And this is
the
like
woman in the web.
The Steven Spielberg Jaws moment here, isn't it?
This was just... I think... Is this where she says, "My master's they fear the doctor"?
No, that's a little later.
Okay.
This is, like, the great... Is this the great shot? Maybe that was earlier, but, this is, like, a great Jaws-type shot
yeah.
where they close up on her. And this thing, of course, is, incredibly reminiscent of... What? The Emperor Dalek from Evil of the Daleks, with all the webbing.
But it's not Davros.
No.
And no, Adam is not going to come back and be Davros.
Oh, and this is also cool. I like that they mention a little later that she was 5 years old when she was installed.
Yeah.
It's a nice little tip of the hat to Remembrance of the Daleks.
Yes.
With the little girl who's a Dalek, what is she, a Dalek controller, I guess?
She's tied into them somehow. I'm not...
But in a similar way to this, except much more cheaply and
yeah.
stupidly.
I'm not ever... I'm watching this again and trying to remember, do they ever, they don't ever really explain, I mean, beyond being some kind of communication device with the Daleks, what her purpose is.
I think it's all tied into her brain, and she runs the different channels and
yeah.
so on.
And I guess
she's like a filter, like a
so she's
master
a Dalek
control.
Remote control.
Yeah, she's a master control unit.
And meanwhile, Captain Jack is still trying to escape. They haven't gone to get Rose yet.
No. That's pretty cool when they go to do that.
That is pretty cool. We don't want to ruin it in case you know. God, you're still watching this commentary. You haven't watched the episode yet. I don't know why you would be.
The what not to wear stuff is the part that I think would most easily get lost on Americans, because our version of what not to wear is very different. But it's still generic enough that you know everyone will have seen a show like it.
And if you haven't, just wait 10 minutes on TLC. Something will come on.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I've got this, like, this is horrible, being in Knoxville for a year and a half. What I started liking, TLC show where they go in and they redo somebody's, like, whole room.
You mean Trading Spaces?
No, not Trading Spaces, but there's, like, this really snarky black woman who, like, comes in and tells them all what to do, and it's more fun than Trading Spaces.
Well, Trading Spaces used to be fun until everyone tried to hide their feelings. In fact, you know, they walk in and they're like, and their face falls, and they're like, I love it! And you're like, no, you don't.
Trading Spaces started in Knoxville?
I had heard that.
And there was actually Trading Spaces on our road.
You missed it?
I was gone. I think I was in Savannah. But literally, our road, like, nobody comes to our road for anything. The mail barely gets to our road. Yeah. And
I remember your house. It's like, go to the middle of nowhere, turn left, keep driving.
Look for the biggest house there. Back in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, it's hidden behind trees, so.
Well, yeah, it's because it's not a trailer like everything else on that road.
I'm surprised, like, your parents invited me out. They're like, oh, look, if we invite the crazy Doctor Who fan out, she'll leave us alone for an hour.
I think it was because I was sick at the time, and I really desperately needed entertainment. You brought me, like, a big bag of stuff.
They're like, oh, free stuff? Bring them on.
No, it was more like, Sarah will give us some time off if she brings her Doctor Who.
And now, they've killed more people.
They've killed more people.
Which, I think it's kind of cool that Anne Robinson actually lent her voice.
That is kind of cool. As did the people who do What Not to Wear. Miss Liberties in Britain.
You know, and I wonder if it was, I remember when Next Generation was on, people wanted to be on Next Generation just because, like, their kids liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they knew they would be around forever.
Like the old Doctor Who or Batman or one of those kind of shows.
Yeah, that explains why we had Vincent Price's Egghead on Batman. Yeah, that was fine quality television there. Yeah, at least we've moved on and we have good quality TV now. Like Big Brother! Oh, wait, no.
Look, I watched, like...
And look, Jack's like, hey, baby, how are you doing? Hey, Rose, in around?
I've actually been surprised just how overt they've made the character of Jack. I was... And not entirely displeased, but it's occasionally taken a little far, but I've been kind of surprised. But it's a very European thing. Here in America, they would never script something that way.
Well,
just because we're much more... We could blow up their heads, but sex? No.
We can't have that. Yeah, I'd rather have violence. And now the doctor is mucking about with things.
I believe in the European thing.
And now they're playing against each other.
Because, you know, we could go, like, really European, and we could make it all Merchant Ivory, and Rose could be, like, swimming, and... Yeah.
Only if we were at Nicola Bryant for a couple episodes. Oh, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what? I don't have to go through another commentary where I beg her to call me, so...
I represented you in the long game commentary by basically doing that moment for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that our commentaries have consistency. Well, people...
They're just as insular as the show!
No, we've actually thought these out in advance.
These routines of ours. We're going to have catchphrases for next year.
Excelsior! If someone wants to make a t-shirt to say, Nicola, call me with my face on them, I'm all for it. You know, if you see Erdogan...
It has to say, Nicola, call me, I'm just saying.
There you go! Oh, and Rose is not doing well.
I don't know what it is about Rose's eyebrows. Now, bear with me.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of pictures lately for girls in Britain.
Yes.
I can't believe I just said it that way, but...
What kind of websites are you visiting?
I'm really not going to answer that right now, but there are girls in Britain anyway. This seems to be
there very... are? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This seems to be a very popular eyebrow cut that goes from, like, very thick to very thin.
Yes.
I'd never seen it before Rose, but I thought, well, is she just trying to be, like, a little butch or something? But no, it's, like, really popular.
She's a trendsetter. That's our Rose.
That's fine. I mean, I have thick eyebrows. I'm fine with this, but I just, it's not what I'm used to. I'm used to girls who are, like...
Hey, what do you
eyebrows.
Want? You want to have the unibrow? My eyebrows
no,
come
no,
together
usually
in an alarming
like,
way.
Them so far down. But I've seen a lot of, like, pictures for shows now and publicity shots that have, like, teenage girls who look like that. It's very odd.
I love this part where the doctor's trying to, like, hardwire the door and Jack's just like, no, just let me shoot it.
And then there's the Page 3 website. Never mind.
I would not know what you're talking about. I did not know there was nudity on the internet. I'm sorry. kidding me.
None of you and I is acquainted with that, right? Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
What do you mean nudity on the internet? Oh, my. There is? I'm going to have to look into that later. Oh, you mean the internet has porn?
You know,
damn!
They can't say we didn't have fun doing these commentaries.
You know what's really scary, folks? We're not even close to drunk yet.
I don't even drink.
You know, I've had water.
I've had a Mountain Dew Red, which, you know, that's and it's diet, so...
And the doctor is coming in to say, this could
this
almost
is a
be
very
another
cool
cliffhanger
scene.
Moment.
This could, yeah. This
Whoops.
Is a very cool scene. I like this a lot. Boom, there's
now,
a
see, good. I like where this goes.
I like the reactions here. The doctor just sort of breaks down, and Jack goes mental.
See, this is kind of... I always sort of imagined if there was another... If there was, like, if you could squeeze a Colin Baker season in between the trial and the end of Revelation of the Dogs, that a cool storyline would be to introduce a companion that apparently gets killed or does get killed, and watch the Sixth Doctor just lose it.
See, I like what Jack does here. Jack is like, you know, you freaking leave them alone!
And you could sort of see... You can sort of see some of that Sixth Doctor, you know, where he's about to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's just screwed because he's the Doctor.
Well, they basically did the Sixth Doctor companion dies in the one book, Time of Your Life.
Oh, yes. But it was cool to see Colin do it because, you know, Colin would be good at the raw fury.
Mm-hmm. And actually, pardon me, by the way, I just burped.
No, I don't think anyone would know if you hadn't told him.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Anyway.
It's not like he's a really professional commentary. So you're going, oh, let's sign those two up to do some more commentaries.
This seems very... I don't know if it's just the lunar colony thing, but this reminds me of that moment from Frontier in Space with Pertwee.
Oh, yeah. The sitting in the jail cell talking, I don't know why and the master are such enemies. Love. Shut up, Katie. Okay, I'm sorry.
And they send him off to the lunar colony? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, one thing I'm going to say about Christopher Eccleston's performance.
Yes.
And bear in mind here, I like his doctor.
Since we should comment on things actually happening in the show.
I like his performance, but one criticism you really could land on him is that he's too human. I mean, I know people like to go on about how Davison is, like, too vulnerable and stuff, but Eccleston literally plays the doctor as anybody would play the doctor, meaning he's cranky, he's self-absorbed, he's arrogant, he's like... All the very human aspects of Davison and Colin Baker's doctors combined.
And a little bit of Hartnell.
And
Hartnell
a little
was
bit of
cranky.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not... He reacts to things very much as you'd think anyone would.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps my biggest criticism of him, is he's not alien enough often.
Now, I like this moment because even though on some level we all know that the Doctor will not use this gun to kill this woman... There is a kind of a question that he might just... This might have been what pushed him over the edge. And I love it when he tosses it aside, like, no, I'm not going to use it. That's just a very Doctor moment.
Yes, that is.
Along the lines, almost as cool as everyone gets to live from Doctor Dances.
Oh, yeah, that's another great moment.
So, we're getting to my favorite little line of dialogue here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Close. Not quite, but close.
I remember I was like... Okay, when this magically appeared on my hard drive somehow, I don't know how it happened, it just sort of popped on there one day. I remember sort of like...
The fairies granted
me. Yeah, I know. They're so nice, but they never cleaned my house for me. Anyway, I remember wanting to fast forward to find this scene in context and trying to tell myself, no, you can't just fast forward to all the cool stuff and then go back and watch all the stuff later. You know, that's the problem of having these on a computer is, you know, at least on videotape or if you have a DVR, it's... Now, how did the TARDIS get here? Did we ever figure that out?
Well, it just got transported there like all of them did. It's kind of glazed over very quickly.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's here!
Like how Jack is extremely familiar with TARDIS control. But then we don't know what happened to him in those 2 years where he was brainwashed.
And there could be some episodes in between that we don't see. Yeah, or maybe true. They left Earth!
Well, they went to Kyoto, Japan.
That is true. We do hear the reference. We do hear references to other stories.
Mm-hmm. And he's in the books. He's in the, like, new set of Ninth Doctor books that's
about
to come out.
Which I've heard conflicting things about those.
Well, Jacqueline Rayner apparently wrote the best one. I'm really not surprised by that. It's just sort of like sit there and decide who's the best writer of the group, and that's the one that's going to be the best book.
So this is where it's...
I mean, did you expect a great Justin Richards book? Did you really?
I haven't read very many Justin Richards books in years.
Well, that's a good thing.
Because, you know, I have to read those cool Star Trek novels and throw them aside.
Yeah, let's
Anyway.
Let's look at my bookshelf. Oh, I'm reading literature. Okay.
I read literature every once in a while. What, Pete David books count, right?
When the mood kicks in.
Hey.
Well, here we go. My master's Fear the Doctor.
This was the part in the previews that was just cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like this part. This is where it starts building. See, the dogs are smart. They don't watch this crap. Sorry, now I've become... Basically, that was a Hartnell commentary, episode 4 for you.
Yes, long silence. And then a woo, as William Russell realizes he's still alive.
Now that's when he's like, kickstart. That's when he kickstarts himself back.
Or possibly when he kicks Carol Ann Ford in the head.
God, oh, dang, children cut long minute. Now shut up. Go sprain your ankle or something.
He literally does that in the Aztecs. It's like, Doctor Who is so educational. And he goes, no, it isn't.
And here's where we learn that Rose isn't really dead. Which, I don't know, maybe they should have left her dead until episode 2.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
Because it seems like she doesn't stay...
Dead long enough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I want her dead in the way that I want Mickey dead. I'm just saying that from a standpoint of the cliffhanger, but then again, you know, then you don't have the cool speech, oh, now we're hugging, which will lead to the kissing later.
Oh, you and I are going to have a little debate about the kissing, aren't we?
No, I don't care. Whatever works for. Oh, and here is the interior of the Dalek ship.
Oh, it's very the chase, isn't it? But more blingy.
Well, you know.
I believe I've said the word bling at least 3 times in this commentary. God.
And in case you were the one person who missed the Dalek POV.
Here it is again. With the repeat of the famous Barbara and the Dalek shot. Again!
Hey. See, this really from the point where where the Doctor goes in with the gun and confronts it, I mean... This was the best. For me, the last 15 minutes were the best part of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just building.
It gets better and better.
And you're kind of sitting there, and, you know, if your chair has an edge, you might eventually fall off of it because it's just that cool.
You can tell Joe Ahern likes this character, too, this whole concept, because he shoots it really well, gives it a lot of good shots.
Yeah.
And this is a cool death.
And she's like, oops, I've screwed up.
No, she actually isn't. She's quite confident about it. And I like the way
I love
you can
the
see
reflection.
The Dalek reflected. Yeah, that's awesome. And
and that's just cool. I like the way that they kind of hide the Daleks, but they don't really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you're watching this in the case you were living in a cave and missed the preview and didn't know they were in it.
Yeah.
Or if you had more self-control than I did and didn't watch the preview 17,000 times the week before this aired.
I watched it a fair few times myself, as well as the next one.
The next one was just cool.
I pumped my arm in the air when I heard the voice.
There's an art to doing previews, and they did it very well on this for this show.
Yeah, except for the simple fact they spoiled that the Daleks were in it.
Yeah, they did, and that was my thing about early in the season. They didn't give away a lot of the next episode in the preview. I mean, you kind of got a taste, but there was nothing in there that wasn't in the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then as they got closer to the end of the season, they're like, we've got to throw those Daleks in there because people love them.
Well, they did a lot of that. Even Dr. Dances was spoiled.
Yeah.
What happens at the end.
But at least they left that one until after the closing credits.
That's
they gave
true.
You the
That's
chance
the
to look
one
away.
One they did.
Oh, now this is a pretty... Oh, we see... Now that's a nice CGI effect.
Also links in with the Dalek Invasion of Earth CGI they did on the DVD.
And the music is... This whole building up, I like
this.
Yeah,
I don't generally like Murray Gold's weird choral stuff, but this works very well.
And the pullback where we see just... thousands of Dalek ships, which in the old days we would see 3.
Would we even see 3? It's usually like 1.
1 and then a couple of pie tins on the streets.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is why CGI is our friend.
Sometimes.
Well, this is CGI done well.
Yes, it is. And then the ultimate cliffhanger is pretty awesome.
Oh, and here they come.
I do miss the different colored Daleks.
Well, and I thought this was going to be the cliffhanger. At first, the revelation that the dogs are behind it would be the cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably because these are really long episodes. I think these 2 episodes are the longest in the season.
Yes. Oh. and the Doctor is seeing the Daleks. And now, of course, they're threatening him because they have Rose prisoner. Now, this is kind of cool. I like Eccleston's performance here. Mm-hmm. We're getting to the part of the episode that I love.
The speech. Yeah, Russell was good with his speeches, too.
Yes. And you kind of get the feeling the Doctor has been pushed around, and he's just, yes! The Daleks say, we're going to kill Rose if you don't do this, and he just says no.
And you just said yes over the top of him, which changes the whole thing. It means no.
Damn, this is cool. This is just... I'm going to do.
We could just say it with him.
We could, but then we'd look like pathetic sad. Oh, wait! As if the 45 minutes leading up to this didn't convince you of that.
45 minutes? What about the other two tracks? That is, if people bought it to listen to.
At this point, I think we're really listening to our two fans who are like going... I like these two. Why am I listening to this?
Well, only 10 people are getting this, so I'm not sure if we're even going to make two fans. Actually, that would be you and me, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't sit around listening to my own commentaries that often. Okay, I do. But that's not the point. We could put these out as podcasts for people to download.
Oh, God, I suppose.
Oh, now this is just... Here's this CGI is awesome. Used well. Just not just three Daleks shouting exterminate, but thousands of Daleks mm-hmm. shouting exterminate. Mm-hmm. That was cool. Though... Interestingly enough, just before we conclude, on my blog, I loved that bit of dialogue, and I transcribed it word for word of the Doctor challenging the Daleks. And I remember one guy who hasn't seen the show yet saying,
pissed.
That's not Doctor Who! And I'm like, well, you really have to see it in context.
Yeah, the five lines aren't really going to tell you much, are they?
No.
Jeez.
Well.
And here comes the voice.
In case you... Well, the guy who in question is an idiot, so, you know. I wasn't surprised.
But the voice... Yeah!
And it's Adam. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I ruin that for everyone? Actually, it's Adric, and he's really pissed.
Yeah.
So, we're scrolling through the ending credits here, and I guess we're done with episode Bad Wolf.
Which means, I guess we have to move on to Parting of the Ways.
Oh, goodness, this should be interesting, because Sarah's not a big fan of Parting of the Ways.
I like at least the first 15 minutes.
I don't think I...
And then it tanks hard.
Well, we'll get into that in the commentary for the episode.
If we were British, we'd be sitting there, it's sort of mildly unpleasant in 15 minutes. But here, it tanks hard.
Well, you know, I feel kind of bad because, you know, we're like, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing the boat.
Yeah, we're snarky fans. Deal with it.
All right, thank you. Oh, I can buy stuff? No way.
Shh. And it's still not done. But we are.
Yep, we're just like you, but we have a commentary.